morning, Ebenezer family and friends. This is so good to be back with you. I just connected on this virtual platform, and that we all can grow and be encouraged in the Lord. Also, I want to welcome you if you are a first-time visitor, maybe you've been here a few times, that you'll just connect with us and get more information about our church at ebcnc.com. And we thank the Lord for just everything that's going on there. Thank you for using our app where you can get notifications and just get times of Bible scriptures and even getting into our Bible lessons with us. And we thank you for your prayers, your tremendous prayers. As we think about everything that's going on connected with Ebenezer, on Mondays, we've got Monday Manna, Tuesday Noonday Bible Study, Wednesday where we're going to through the entire book of St. Luke, and then on Thursdays we've added an in-person Bible study at 6 o'clock where we're going to the book of 1 John, learning how to apply love to our everyday walk. We thank you for your prayers for our 8:45 in-person and our 10:45 in-person services and our 10 o'clock online. The Lord has just done so many amazing things. Also, thank you for your giving. The scriptures let us know that we need a purpose in our heart and that God loves a cheerful giver. Whether you're using our church app or you're sending it into our secure mailbox or you're in an in-person service, we just want to thank you for all that you do. Well, I'm just excited to get back into God's Word as we get back into the series, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And we think about what a life of sacrifice means as we grow closer and closer to the Lord. You be blessed and see you soon.
I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to start with the 15th verse and go through the end of that chapter. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using this illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things which lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I have found a love that pardons. I have found some stripes that heal. I have found strength for my weakness. I found grace to cover all of my sins. Said I found a love that pardons. And I found some stripes that heal. Oh, I found strength for my weakness. I found grace to cover all of my sins. And it's in Jesus, it's all in Jesus. It's in Jesus, He's the one, He's my rock. of salvation, a firm foundation. Yes, it's in Jesus. He is the Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Savior, Savior, Savior. Savior, Savior, Savior. Savior, 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Healer, healer, healer. Healer, healer, healer. Healer, healer, healer. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Just a closer walk with our Savior. And I pray as we have been making this journey together that you have been getting closer to Him. Even as the hymnists say, just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Before we get into today's lesson, I just want us to go in a word prayer as our hearts are being prepared to receive what God has for us. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for this day that you have made, Lord. And we're here to receive from you. Lord, it's not about us, but it's all about you. So right now, Lord, I pray for those who are looking in that may not be saved. I pray today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said that we would be saved, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that it's by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift from you. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, you are a teacher. You are a guide. You are everything. So would you lead us and guide us into all truth? Make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we get into the scriptures today, we're moving back into the New Testament as we were in Psalms 84 on last time, dealing with that pilgrim's journey. Today, I want you to focus in on 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and around that 25th verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 around that 25th verse. It reads, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. I'll read that again. It's a tough scripture, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 11:25. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. And a night and a day I have been in the deep. I want to speak from the title today, A Life of Sacrifice. A Life of Sacrifice. As we enter into this portion of scriptures, the time frame is about AD 56. Paul the Apostle is being used mightily of the Lord. He actually writes the letter of 1 Corinthians, kind of like a disciplinarian letter. The Corinthians were being used with gifts, signs, and wonders, but yet there was divisions that were rising up within the church. So Paul has to correct that. And as he comes into this 2 Corinthians, there seems to be some more confusion that's come up, that many were saying that Paul the Apostle wasn't really apostle, that he wasn't the one to lead them. And these false teachers had arisen and they were putting all kinds of crazy doctrine out. And so now Paul the Apostle has to come back, and we really, really get to view his heart as he loves the Lord with his whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. But yet, Paul, just like ours, he fights through some stresses within his life. William Temple actually wrote of what a sacrificial life is all about. He said, the principle of sacrifice is that we choose to do or to suffer what apart from our love, we should not choose to do or to suffer. When love is returned, this sacrifice is the most joyful thing in the world. In heaven is the life of joyful sacrifice. But in a selfish world, it must be painful. The pain is the source of triumph. This is Paul the Apostle. He's been given and giving and giving more. But when that what you give is not received, and instead of when you give love, someone gives hate back, it is tough. Let's jump into 2 Corinthians 11:22 so we can get some insight on this portion of scripture where Paul the Apostle begins to, in essence, vindicate his apostleship. 2 Corinthians 11:22 says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I." Here's the first point. Your walk in Christ is bigger than your race and ethnicity. Your walk in Christ is bigger than your race and your ethnicity. Now, this is important because as we look at these scriptures, Lord began to deal with my heart on so many things that has entered in our society, has entered into our churches. Theologian McDonald actually gives us a concise background, specifically what's going on in this portion of the scripture. The false teachers made much of their Jewish ancestry. They claimed to be full-blooded Hebrews descended from Israel and the seed of Abraham. They still labored under the delusion that this family tree gave them favor in the sight of God. Paul wanted to let them know that it's really not about race or ethnicity, that they needed to realize that it was all about Christ. And by showing them and giving his background, he's going to build up to this point that it's not about me, but it's all about what Christ is doing within him. Let me define race and ethnicity. Race refers to a person's physical characteristics such as bone structure, and skin, hair, or eye color. There's a lot within our society dealing with race at this time. Ethnicity refers to cultural factors, including nationality, regional culture, ancestry, and language. So many times we allow our color, we allow our race, our ethnicity to become priority above Christ. I want to say that again. So many times we allow our race, our ethnicity, our nationality, our background to supersede who Christ is. Christ must be priority in everything. He is our number one relationship. And as we see these struggles within our world, even today, saints of God, we've got to lift up Christ more and more, especially as we are in situations where the enemy has come in and tries to divide us. Isaiah, the prophet, he really captures and pulls us back to where we all are in Isaiah 64:6, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." I'm talking about a life of sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 11:23, he goes on, he says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often," 2 Corinthians 11:24, "from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one," 2 Corinthians 11:25, "three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep," 11:26, "in journeys often, in perils of water." Somebody say peril. Just put it in the chat. Perils. You're going to hear this a lot. "In perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren," 2 Corinthians 11:27, "in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness and often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness." Oh my goodness. Here's the point. No pain, no gain. Yes, no pain, no gain. Now, this is critical as we look at Paul the Apostle and all these struggles that he's going through. In the 80s, 1980s, let me be specific, as we're all getting older, Jane Fonda, she popularized this term of no pain, no gain. She also said, "Do you feel the burn?" And in our lives, I'm telling you, as Christians, many times we're going to feel the burn and we're going to have the pain within our lives. But even before Jane Fonda, in 1758, Benjamin Franklin Franklin wrote in The Way of Wealth, he wrote this. He says, there are no gains without pains. In order to get closer to the Lord, listen to me, we will go through. Yes, there are going to be some struggles physically within our lives. There are going to be some emotional struggles that we go through, some mental challenges, but we've got to trust the Lord. Paul the Apostle actually gave us a few of his credentials, and I want to go back and summarize it so you can really see the things that he was going through. I want to sum them up for you in those scriptures. He was beaten by the Jews. He was shipwrecked. He endured painful journeys. He was weary and had many sleepless nights. He hungered and was thirsty, fasting often, was stripped of clothes and dignity. Please understand, all for the sake of the cross. All for the sake of the cross. Theologian Hodge, he writes this. He says, the greatest of the apostle here appears before us, his back lacerated by frequent scourging, his body worn by hunger, thirst, and exposure, cold and naked, persecuted by Jews and Gentiles, driven from the place to place without any certain dwelling. This passage, more than any other, makes even the most laborious of the modern ministers of Christ hide their face in shame. What have they ever done or suffered to compare with what this apostle did? I'm telling you, what are we willing to go through for the sake of the cross? I'm talking about a life of sacrifice. When we think about our lives and how God has blessed us so much, in comparison, are we giving back to the immense salvation that dwells on the inside of us via the Holy Spirit? The Apostle Peter, he writes this, and we've talked about this scripture abundantly as we've gone through this series, 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. Can you put it in the chat? Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. 1 Peter 4:14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Would you just put blessed? I'm telling you, when we go through, there are blessings when we are on the Lord's side. For the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, there ought to be some amens in the chat, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. 4:17, for the time has come. Are you listening to me? For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. I'm telling you, the time is here. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? 4:18. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? 19th verse, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. I'm talking about a life of sacrifice. Saints, God is calling us to a higher level with him. He's calling us to a connection level that it's going to cost us. We're going to have some pain in order to get gain, as the Holy Spirit is using us in amazing ways. But we're going to have to lay down ourselves and give more and more to the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:28. Besides the other things, Paul writes, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? Here's the point. Concern for the church. Concern for the church. Paul reveals as he writes his biggest concern, the priority as he's dealing with his life and trying to follow the Lord, is his concern for the church. And saints, it is my concern, as I say that again, do we have enough concern for the church? Do we have concern for the body of Christ and what the Lord is doing in this season and time? Paul, in essence, felt their pain seen. He actually empathized with the individuals and the members of the church. One minister coined this phrase, which really captured what goes on in the church many times. He says, church making is heartbreaking. Church mending is never ending. I want to say that again. Church making is heartbreaking. Church mending is never ending. Because we deal with fallen creatures that are around us, we all have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom. We have our struggles. And Paul was saying, I've gone through all these physical adversities, but when I think about the church and desiring them to grow, he said, this is the top. This is the struggle that I deal with. Many people within the church, they talk about what the church is not. They complain about what the church should be. But I ask you, are you willing? What are you doing to help and assist the body of Christ to be more like Christ, to be more on the journey of saving souls and telling people that Christ is risen and letting families know that Christ makes the difference? I have a saying often because I deal with a lot of people. I say, if it moves you, move it. I want to say that again. If it moves you, move it. How many of us will step up and say, God, use me for your glory? Paul writes in Colossians 1:9, summarizing this, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Can you put in the chat, say pray? You're sitting wherever you're sitting and say pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy. Can you put worthy? You're going to work today. Worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Saints, in order to get closer to the Lord, just a closer walk with thee, we've got to pray more. We've got to set aside time that we're seeking the Lord. We've got to read our scriptures more. We have to be more involved. We have to get from the point of being spectators to step out and say, God, I want to be used. God, I want to be used in an amazing way to touch people that are around him. We must increase in him. I'm talking about a life of sacrifice. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:30. Paul says, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. 2 Corinthians 11:32. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of Damascenes with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Man, as we sum all this together and pull it together, this is the last point of the day. I want you to get this: humility. Yes, humility. In order to be used of the Lord, man, we've got to be knocked down in essence. The pride that rises up in us, sometimes we've got to fall flat on our face to know, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, are there any amens? If it had not been for God that was within us, and now we can grasp that he's more than the whole world is against us, because he's on the inside of us. Now let's define this humility. It's the thought of freedom from pride or arrogance, the quality or state of being humble. Paul brings out here one of the most humiliating times in his walk with Christ. Yes, and I tried to grasp this. Why was this point so humiliating him? Because Paul was a fighter. He was one to stand up. He wasn't one to run. He wasn't one to go through the back door. He was one to stand up and say, you know what? I am willing to die for the sake of the cross of Christ. But because of the particular situation, he has to escape out the back door here, and he's let down in a basket. J.B. Watson, he really captured the picture. He said, he takes hold of what men made an occasion of shame and ridicule and sets it in the light of being another proof that the paramount interest in his life was to serve the Lord Christ, for whose sake he was prepared to sacrifice his personal pride and appear as a coward in the eyes of man. What are you willing to sacrifice for the sake of the cross? What are you willing to sacrifice so that God can use you? How would we be closer to the Lord that we would lay down some stuff? What things do we need to lay down so that we can be closer to the Lord within our lives? We need to live a life of sacrifice. Well, as we conclude this, I want to stop it and summarize it with looking at Jesus' life, because he is our perfect example. Philippians 2:5 really brings it out. I'm going to run through these because I want you to see that Jesus lived a life of sacrifice. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. Aren't you glad that Jesus came from heaven to earth to walk among men? He healed the sick and he raised the dead. Philippians 2:8 said, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. I am so glad that he goes to the cross of Calvary. He takes nails in his hands and nails in his feet for you and me. Philippians 2:9. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God and Father. Getting closer to the Lord means more sacrifice. Are you willing to walk more like Christ? Because he's died for us and he's been resurrected, and now he's been ascended to the right hand of the Father praying for us. I just wonder, are there some folks that say, I want to live a life of sacrifice? Romans 12:1 says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I'm so glad that God said we can live as a living sacrifice to him, which is our reasonable service. And then that second verse says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Saints, God wants us to step up and be used of him. We need to live a life of sacrifice. In this season and time, there's so much fighting. I would like to say that it's happening just on the outside of the church, but it's infiltrated. It's come in even into the churches. But saints, we've got to lift Christ up. He must be priority in everything. We must keep in our mind, we want a closer walk with him. But as we walk close to him, we see Paul the Apostle's life. There will be struggles. There will be times that we feel like throwing in the towel and giving up. But that's not the time to give up. That's the time to step up. That's the time to lift up our hands and say, God, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. God, use me more and more. Saints, this is a journey to the finish line. We want to hear our God say, well done, my good and faithful servants. Saints, I want you to examine your life today. What can you do more for Christ? He's done everything for us. But how can you step up as the Holy Spirit's power and anointing is in you? How can you be a part of this wonderful plan that God has put forth, that more souls can be saved and be brought to the knowledge of the truth? If you're not saved today, man, I want to let you know, I want you to be on the Lord's side. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and says you will be saved. I want you to know that Christ is everything, and he'll do wonderful things in your life as you give your life as a sacrifice to him. He showed us that example. He has finished the race for us. And now we can look at his life, and since he's finished his race, now we can run our race. And we can know we've got the victory simply because he has won. Thank God for what he's done. So saints, help us to focus in together as we love one another and we reach out and we say, God, use us as that sacrifice. Saints, there needs to be more prayer. There needs to be more Bible reading. There needs to be more worship. There needs to be more praise. Let's decide today, God, I'm going to go deeper into you. I want more change in me. I want to be transformed to be more like you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for challenging us as we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, but more importantly, that we look at your life. Jesus, thank you for walking among men. Thank you for being like us, yet without sin. Thank you for finishing your race and giving us that example of what a finished race looks like. Now help us, Lord, to finish, that you may be pleased with our lives. Thank you for giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, Lord, please save souls, deliver, and set free. Thank you, God, for who you are. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Because the Lord is my shepherd,
all right,
I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow's grass, and he leads me beside the quiet stream. He restores my failing health, and he helps me to do what honors him the most. That's why I'm saved. That's why I'm saved. That's why I'm saved. Saved in his arms. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow's grass, and he leads me beside the quiet stream. He restores my failing health, and he helps me to do what honors him the most. That's why I'm saved. That's why I'm saved. That's why I'm saved. Saved in his arms. Amen.
The Lord is definitely worthy to be praised. I just thank the Lord that we're able to share with one another on this virtual platform, communion. It is so wonderful to be able to think about the sacrifice that Christ has done for us. And so much more importantly, to think about that sacrifice led to his resurrection, and now that he's seated on the right hand of the Father and he is praying for us. So I encourage you to go ahead and get your communion articles, your bread and your juice. And if there is anything that you're holding against anybody, ask for forgiveness. If you can reach out, if you can text them now, call them and just say, you know what, I am sorry, because we don't want anything to hinder us from being in the presence of the Lord. As we start out with this communion today, I just want to go to a familiar portion of scripture that really helps us to examine ourselves. Paul the Apostle had a wonderful revelation of who God was and the power of communion. So, Bianca, if you could just take us into 1 Corinthians 11:23 as we think about the awesomeness of our Lord.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes."
And this is a magnanimous picture of what Christ has done and is still doing, that when we literally take the bread and we take the cup, we enter into a place of power and anointing as we think about the sacrifice that the Lord did for us. But in that 27th verse, it says, "Therefore,
whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So we don't want to do it in an unworthy manner. It goes on to that 28th verse, and this is what we led off with. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And then it says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So we want to make sure that really we're not holding anything, and that we realize that this is so important as we take the Lord's body and the representing his body and his blood. And then that 31st verse says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So Paul gets this revelation to give to that church body of that time, that they should take this very seriously, and we take it very seriously also. So I'm going to ask Bianca if she would pray over our bread and our juice.
Father, we just praise you and thank you for your son Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, who shed his blood so that we might have a right to have fellowship with you, Lord. We thank you for this bread, and we thank you for this juice that represents his body, and we thank you for your gift of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jesus goes into that upper room with his disciples, that Passover before his crucifixion. And while they're talking around the table, they think it's just another Passover, but they don't realize that the Passover lamb is not the one that's on the table, that lamb that's been cut, but it's the Lamb of God that's sitting right there before them. And he picks up that bread and he breaks it. He gets the attention of the disciples, and he leads them in. He says, as we look at this bread, this represents my body, which will be broken for you. As often as we eat it, let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together. He then grabs the goblet, and that a goblet would be shared amongst them. And he picks it up and he says, this represents my blood. I can imagine at this point, all the disciples' attention are like, wow, his blood. Now they see the color of it. He says, as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together. I am so glad that I'm saved, and I pray that you are just thinking about the wonders of salvation. As you go through the day, I want you to take what we've done today, thinking about the resurrection of Christ, the power of Christ, and I want you to reach out to someone else. Share Jesus, show them love, maybe embrace them, give them a hug, and let them know Christ is risen and he's working in us. Until we meet again, you be blessed.